Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, leaders need to act now to mitigate third-party risk while still enabling their supply chain partners to flex to the current pressures on the system, thanks to the impact of COVID-19. Given no one knows when the end of this pandemic will be, preparations for any potential scenarios to protect businesses is needed. What steps should organizations take to counter these ransomware-related attacks during COVID-19? We're chatting with Subbalakshmi Ganapathy, Product Evangelist at ManageEngine, an enterprise IT management division of Zoho Corporation. Thanks for joining us today, Subha.
Thank you, Holly. Thank you for having us here.
So let's talk about the increase in, say, ransomware-related attacks. What have they been like during this time? Was it surprising to see an increase in these attacks?
To launch a ransomware attack, the attackers need to implant a malware inside a corporate network. And later, this malware spreads, exploiting the vulnerabilities in the system and transmits the infection to other systems. So the ransomware attack of this kind has skyrocketed to 148% in March 2020 compared to its baseline levels in February. So it's around the same time when businesses across the world adapted to remote work, you know, like the telecommuting. So if you can see, between February and April, there was 70% increase in remote work. And the notable spikes in the attacks can be definitely correlated to the COVID-19 news cycle and the adoption to remote work. So it all started with the healthcare, all these like the COVID-19 related ransomware issues, you know, it all started with the healthcare institutions. So the hackers have known for a very long time that hospitals and other healthcare providers are a perfect target for ransomware attacks, since, you know, like, because there is a life and death urgency in getting back up and running quickly. So during this pandemic, the risk has become even more dire as adversaries began launching destructive ransomware attacks in many hospitals that either treated the COVID-19 patients or conducted a research for COVID-19 cure. So now it is spreading beyond the healthcare industry as well. So with this pandemic situations, the attackers have evolved using the COVID-19 as an allure to more successfully launch ransomware attack in the industries or the business. So they started using this, COVID-19 themed phishing emails, the fake apps, the maps, to install the malware in the corporate network. So further, the attackers have also started to exploit the vulnerabilities or the loopholes in the virtual private network. We call it as the VPN connections, which most remote workers use now. So they can easily hack this VPN or make use of a vulnerability in this VPN servers to gain access to the corporate network and launch a ransomware attack. So this VPN, the COVID-19 themed phishing emails are paving a great way for ransomware-related attacks during this pandemic.
Subha, talk to us about the gaps in businesses' systems that the attacks have brought to light.
Personally, I think there are like two major gaps in business systems that has been brought into here. One is the security tools. There is a gap. And then there is a gap in the skills of the security teams to handle and resolve the incidents or attacks remotely. So usually what happens is adopting to a remote work is taken up very slowly by enterprises. So if a business wants to make its employees work from home, it would first prepare their IT team to handle several requests, manage the bandwidth issues, and most importantly, deploy security measures to safeguard their network when their perimeter extends. But this sudden shift to remote working made most enterprises unprepared, and then they are now vulnerable to attack. So the preventive and detective security controls that the companies have adopted, we call it the legacy network security solutions, doesn't work well for this flexible working practices. And there is a huge gap here. And to add on to this, the security teams and organizations have to manage the incidents in unfamiliar conditions, including the lockdown, with their user behavior monitoring and incident detection rules not catering to the new operating modes. And ensuring the security while all or most of its employees working from home is not an easy task for security teams. The laptops which the employees use to connect to their corporate network can easily be compromised, you know, because they are connecting using their home Wi-Fi or even their personal devices. So securing the data and assets at this point is a tough task for the teams, and there is a huge skill gap here with the business that's the attackers are leveraging in.
Let's talk about then, Subha, the current pressures on systems that businesses have put in place, but they're experiencing now.
So the pressure, there are like two great pressures. One, the cybersecurity issues that we talked about, and the other one is the data privacy risk. So as social distancing is becoming a new normal, so does work from home for employees with lockdowns and commute restrictions coming into place. So the home Wi-Fi connections, the personal devices provide additional opportunities for the hackers. Plus, there is no restrictions on visiting the websites, be it social media or suspicious website. You know, it's very difficult to implement the restrictions of visiting these sites when the employees work from home. So this expands the attacking landscape, and this has put a lot of pressure on the security teams and the systems. And the second major concern that I told earlier is the data privacy. As you might be knowing, the Personal Data Protection Commission, the PDPC of Singapore, has also issued a public statement that says like the organizations may collect the personal data, including the National Register of Indian Citizens, the NRIC, or the Foreign Identification Number, the FIN, or even the passport number for the individuals, you know, for implementing the safe entry at the premises. Usually the business like the retails, the healthcare facilities, the nursing homes, schools, or other educational institutions now have to collect these personal data of their visitors for the purpose of contact tracing and other response measures in the event of an emergency. So the PDPC also states that what kind of security controls that enterprises have to implement to safeguard these unstructured data. So implementing a security strategy for protecting this unstructured data also put a lot of pressure on the enterprises because they have to handle the cybersecurity issue as well. So these are the two major pressures that enterprises are facing currently.
So what do you think leaders can do then to mitigate this third-party risk? And why is it a challenge when it comes to, say, supply chain partners?
So that's a good question, because previously when it comes to security, we had this thought of protecting everything from within the network, and we missed what comes from outside or from the third party, as you say. The biggest challenge with in mitigating the third party risk is implementing a proper privilege access management, like the PAM, and the identity access management, we call it as IAM. So when your supply chain partners are given permission to view or even perform some operations on personal data or any other data or resources within the network, then it should be monitored regularly. And when the data is in the cloud, all the more protection is needed. But enterprises find it difficult to track this user lifecycle management. This includes creating a specialized user account for the third party and providing only the necessary privileges to the vendor. We call it as the principle of least privilege. And also revoking the permissions once its purpose has been completed. That's really important. And finally, monitoring the vendor activity that's happening within the network. Though while I say it sounds easy, it's not a very easy task. Keeping track of all these activities on shared accounts and preventing the data breaches, it's all complex when it comes to practical implementations.
It also sounds a bit arduous and tedious.
Yes.
Is there some kind of software that might help in this regard?
Yeah, definitely. When it comes to user provisioning, you can like automate the user provisioning and the user monitoring, and the solutions can just give you alarms when something goes wrong. So the perfect, or the monitoring, the continuous monitoring is also perfectly installed, and also you get the alarms when there is an anomaly. And what other thing that enterprises can do is setting up restricted access controls for the end vendor in a separate network segment. So you, they know what kind of data the vendor is going to access. So protecting or segregating that from the rest of the network can reduce the risk at a large rate. In ManageEngine, what we do is we build some solution to reduce this third-party risks. So these solutions utilizes the technologies and help enterprises to overcome the challenges that stated above in creating the user, allocating the principle of least privileges on auditing the user activities. And when it comes to the solutions of this kind, predominantly the challenge is to deploy and make it run. And our USP is that all these comes within a single solution so that it's easier for the IT teams to deploy and administer.
So we're at this stage now, and some businesses are looking toward recovery, opening up again. What sort of scenarios should they be prepared for then?
They should start with their employees. So even if they have deployed the security tools, it's not going to help them all the time. So educating and ensuring that employees stay updated with the latest trend in cybersecurity helps largely. For instance, they can even run an awareness program about the COVID-19 themed phishing campaign to employees to avoid users click the legitimate looking phishing emails and thereby seal the intrusion point of the attackers. And the second thing they can do is fine-tuning the security strategy and tools to adapt to the remote working methods, making sure that the organization's the threat intelligence platform is dynamically updated to capture the increasing number of malicious domains and sites is very much essential, you know. And further, they should also consider fine-tuning their behavioral analytics, or if they haven't implemented, consider implementing one. So compared to the traditional rule-based solutions, these user behavior monitoring tools that run on AI or the machine learning allows to effectively detect the advanced attacks that talked about earlier. So they normally use these techniques to study the pattern of the users or the entities and detect any deviation or outlier that comes into the situation. So it is very much essential to spot and stop the advanced persistent attacks.
Subha, moving forward, what sort of cybersecurity trends might you see by way of attackers, etc.?
So the trends is like, now we know that ransomware is predominantly used for decrypting files, but now it's being changed. We call it as like the ransomware 2.0. Mm. They started stealing the credentials as well. So they can capture the credentials from the systems, the browsers, the applications once the system is infected. So even if you pay for the decryption of files, your credential is long gone. They're not going to get back. And businesses should be prepared to tackle such multifaceted cyber attacks. You know, there is a three-way attack methodology, wherein they deploy three malware in one go, each perform a different functionality, say credential stealing, decrypting the file, or causing the privilege abuse. And things are getting so sophisticated, and taking advantage of the misconfigurations on the cloud is also going to be a rise in the future.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Howie. Thank you for having me here.
Subbalakshmi Ganapathy, Product Evangelist at ManageEngine.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.